Body's moving through time, carrying out certain tasks, which you're there is to carry out. And all this can be done with no sense of self attached to the body doing it. If a person can reach that stage, or even have a moment of that, we all have our moments of that. Like you're driving in your car for a while, and suddenly you realize 20 miles have gone by and you weren't aware that you were driving. Okay, there it is. Egolessness. And the driving was going on just fine without you. Yeah. So it's like working in the direction of bringing one's life, the lower elements in oneself, so to speak, training them, which these faculties we are given enable us to do, we can actually train our these little lives that compose our personalities and stuff. We can actually train them in ways that will help us rather than hinder us. We can train them to serve us rather than hinder us. This training is, says Krishna, very difficult. The beginnings are very important because the end is in the beginning. He says that the his highest devotees are fully enlightened sages. You know, like the ones you hear about. Those are Krishna's highest devotees, including some of the great teachers in world history. Those aren't expressions of Krishna per se, but they are some of Krishna's highest devotees. They've undergone the self-transformation required to know Krishna. Because the spiritual life, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is all about self-transformation. Transforming the lead of the psychophysical nature into the gold of the flute of Krishna. And sometimes it's talked about, not in the Gita, but elsewhere, it's talked about in order to get spiritual buoyancy, you know, it's hard enough to get physical buoyancy, but to get spiritual buoyancy, you have to drop whatever is holding you down. And it said this cannot be done all at once. Okay, I'll just drop all this and I'll be free. It can't be done all at once, but it can be done once for a moment. Like if you're the example given is if you're driving along and you have a flat tire, you can get totally ego-absorbed in that. So the world's reduced, the entire infinite universe, which it is, the entire infinite universe is reduced down to a lug wrench and some nuts and a tire, and you're just totally uptight and your blood pressure is up and, you know, and you're probably cursing your fate. Or you can have the blowout and pause. Take a breath. Let the whole damn thing go. Just let go. Take a look at the sky. Check it out. Egoless. Sky's egoless. You know, it's free. It's expansive. It doesn't take long. You just look up. You know. And then you can go back to and fix your damn tire. Without the tension, and you can do a lot better job at it. because without the tension, you're more efficient. One philosopher called this kind of practice. One philosopher called this samadhi shifts. You just do a samadhi shift. When it starts getting you down, just let go. Because whatever's getting you down isn't real in the first place. Because everything that's real will get you up. So there's nothing wrong with letting go of what's getting you down. Because what's getting you down is an illusion. What's getting you down is an illusion. Krishna says that even in the worst of circumstances, the self-governed sage, as he calls it, the self-governed sage, one who knows Krishna, remains undisturbed by anything that may come to pass. Remains undisturbed by anything that may come to pass. Doesn't mean likes it or doesn't like it. Neither way, remains undisturbed. Just deals with it as appropriately. The beauty of Krishna is that since he's in everybody, there's hope for everybody. And if nothing else ever got told, that would be enough to tell. Now, it says in the very end of the Bhagavad Gita, which I think I'll read to you, at the very, very end, Krishna tells Arjuna, his pupil, he says, having asked Arjuna one more time to place your mind and heart on me, and me alone, and as often as you can, he says to Arjuna, to whom he's taught all this stuff, he says, thou must never reveal this to one who does not practice mortification, who is without devotion, who careth not to hear it, nor unto him who despises me. So he doesn't even recommend these teachings be given out universally. Under certain conditions, it's appropriate to give them out if there's a person who's interested, has some kind of spiritual quest going. The beauty of the Bhagavad Gita and the flute of Krishna is that it's compatible with whatever path a person finds themselves on. The light's within every human being, no matter what path they're on. In that sense, Krishna is with everybody. But to know him fully, he says, one has to be constant in meditation, which doesn't mean sitting around meditating somewhere. It can be consistent with doing one's daily duties. Meditation isn't necessarily sitting in a corner. It's a state of consciousness. Constant meditation, heart on me, says Krishna. That means that's all your heart wants, is Krishna. So these are just what we got to do. If you want to know me, he says, your mind has to be constantly on me. Your heart has to want nothing but me. You have to do all your actions for me. And whenever your mind is free, you have to bring it back to me. So it's a me thing. It's just the mind back to Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then he says, this is too difficult, which it is. He says somewhere, let me if I can find it. I don't think I can find it. He says somewhere that out of thousands of men, one will search for me. And out of thousands of those, one will find me. So it's a very difficult path. If it were an easy path, the world would be full of joyful, enlightened people, which it isn't. But all the unjoyful, unenlightened people still have that light within them, which is obscured by their own worldly desires and aversions. So to be fully